I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, when it's hour number three, what does that mean?
It's the power hour. Bless your heart.
The virtual gong, man. We have to do what we can do. And we bring in right now our good friend Jay Williams. Jay Weezy on the Goodyear Hotline, as Bart likes to call him. Jay, well, what's happening, man?
Man, I'm just sitting here having a cocktail, ready to start pushing the limits with my man Barton Hahn. That's all I'm doing. You know, before the day. So
yes.
I'm in that frame of mind, just to let y'all know.
Listen, we've been habitual line stepping all damn day. Listen, let's start with something I know you hot about. Let's start with Jason Garrett being the fall guy, man. Listen, I don't know if he has enough arms to pull all them knives that's in his damn back from everybody stabbing him in it and putting that diesel fuel back in that bus over him.
Yo, Bart, all of a sudden everybody today was like, yeah, Jason Garrett, it's shocking news. I'm like, wait. We're going from Jason Garrett to Freddie Kitchens? That's what's breaking news. Like, that's what we're going here. Like, my whole thing, man, is I'm over talking about the Giants because I'm so tired of seeing all the talent, all the assets we have on the field and them not being utilized properly. And at the end of the day, I thought Jason Garrett shouldn't even came back for this second year. I thought he should have been fired after his first year. And then I thought he should have been let go right before they had their bye week. But look, I guess you could say better late than never. But I'm sitting there looking at, how do you manage this team? Like, if I'm in the business world and I'm an executive, the people I put in place as my CMO, my COO, my CTO, how they run their particular lines of business, if they're not profitable, that's a problem because that's a reflection on me. I'm the one that needs to answer to the board. So I start looking at John Mara and I start saying, to what accountability are you holding Joe Judge to? Because Joe Judge has been the one that's been managing this from the offensive line coach to the D-line. Like, all these issues that are arising for this guy, like, it just makes me think about, okay, that was a symptom, but you're not addressing the disease. Mm. Like, and the disease is Dave Gettleman, and then it goes everybody else down from below there. Because I don't think Dave Gettleman has put this team in a position to succeed. Has he gotten a couple of draft picks right? Yes. But I'm not even sitting here saying that Daniel Jones is the answer for us. And even if you want to revamp Daniel Jones, I'm like, all right, well, how does that affect his turnover problem? Because I still see him turning the ball over at a high rate. And that's a problem for me when I think about my franchise quarterback. I want my franchise quarterback to be or have a chance to go next level, just not be somebody who is marginal that I feel like we need other aspects of our team to be great. I'd rather start with our QB, but that's me.
See, Bart, Jay is an example of a Giants fan of what I was talking about yesterday.
It's a lot of scar tissue, man. I can hear the pain in this.
You hear the pain, but you know what else, though?
Man, it's deep, dog.
You know what else you hear, though? The apathy. The fact that he's like, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of talking about it. This is the problem. When your brand, when people stop caring about your brand, when they just like, I don't want to hear about this, like, I'm tired of it. When people have just that feeling of disgust, that's when you know you have a problem. And that's when if you're John Mara, if you're Steve Tisch, like, you have to look at this a lot more serious than worrying about what's it going to look like if we clean house again and every 2 years we're turning it over. You turn it over till you get it right. You don't just perpetuate a problem. And the problem right now is that your fan base, the diehards are going to be angry. The Tessas who call us and she's all fired up, they're always going to be there. But you worry about people like Jay who've got better things to do. And so I'm not going to waste my energy and my time on you if you're not going to give me a good product to root for. And that's what I'm hearing in Jay's voice. I'm hearing exactly that, man.
So Jay, are we certain and sure that Joe Judge is the solution? And if not, like, what about the look that it seems like the Giants are hiring a coach every 2 years and still probably paying McAdoo. We know they're paying Pat Shurmur. So, like, now this would be the third. Now,
I watched Pat Shurmur's defense beat up on us, so you're right about that.
because when you think about it, right, like, is the Giants in danger of being viewed upon by free agents and executives as the New York Jets, an unstable franchise? Have we got to that point?
It's Thanksgiving.
We damn near close. I mean, look, I feel like we have more talent than the Jets. There's no doubt about that. But I'm a little bit relentless, man. Like, I don't mind there being a lot of turnover as long as we find our guy. Like, we need to find our guy. And I'm not sure Joe Judge is our guy. I'm not sure that tough love from the Belichick tree is similar to, like, Parcells, that kind of feeling that it gives me. I'm not sure of it. So does Joe Judge buy himself another year? Probably knowing us, he does. But I don't know if we're going to see the next level from our team with Joe Judge being at the helm.
You just don't. I don't get that sense.
And I think there's been so many opportunities, Bart, for me to see this year where I'm waiting. And by the way, I was in the car yesterday because I listen to you guys every day when I'm picking my daughter up from school. It's like my ritual. It's my daughter's ritual. And when I heard Tess yesterday, I was screaming at the damn road. My daughter looked at me, and I found myself cursing twice, being like, I'm sorry, baby. Daddy really agrees with what this lady's saying right now. Because, like, that's where I go to. And all these Freddie Kitchens, you know, all these, you know, Jason Garrett. Like, I watched Jason Garrett when he was in Dallas, and I'm like, he didn't do anything that really blew my mind with Dallas. Now I'm watching Freddie Kitchens because he's been your friend for 17 years. Why are we hiring friends?
Right.
Why are we hiring, you know, hire the best in the business. Alan Howe, you can be my best friend. If I'm going into a business that's about NFTs, I'm like, yo, Alan, look, I love you, man. Like, I can't have you involved here. You don't know the level I need you to know about NFTs, so I'm going to hire the best in the business. And I don't know why he's addressing his coaching staff that way, and that's what makes me really question him in the future.
I can't believe you turned me down for a job on national radio.
But can I mean,
you had to put that out there? Like, I can't believe you just did that.
Well, NFT is not a radio, Alan. You know, radio TV, you're my guy. You know
but can I ask you something next level? Maybe this may hurt the feelings of Giants fans. Well, do you think that maybe Mara should not be making as much of the decision-making and let Tish step in and bring a fresh new set of eyes? Because it seems like Mara's the guy.
He's the money man. Nah, Tish is the money man.
But Mara's the one that's making the football decisions because he deems himself as the football guy.
He's president. Yeah.
And he's making all these decisions as far as who to hire. And it's always somebody that's been there, done that. And with new times, if you want the same thing, then continue to do the same thing. If you want something different, you have to try something different.
Yeah, change nothing, nothing changes, right? That's essentially what you're saying, Bart. Change nothing, nothing changes.
Bart, are we talking about the Chicago Bears? Because that's what the Giants sound like.
Oh.
Are you telling me this is like George McCaskey sitting there looking at Ted Phillips? Like, do we have football people? Do we have football people helping us make this decision? Like, I would love for Tish to actually have a new set of eyes on this whole thing. Because, like, that's my thing. It trickles all the way up to the top. Mm-hmm. It does. And at a certain point, you know, I heard Tess yesterday, like, Daniel Jones is not Eli Manning. Like, I need somebody in a position of power to say, hey, it's time to revamp. It's time to think about this through a different lens, because obviously the lens we've been trying to see it through since our two Super Bowls has not been making us successful, especially the lens we've had in the past 4 or 5 years, which has been straight up embarrassing. The Eagles have won more games than us, considering they started with a new quarterback after that drama they had last year. Mm-hmm. Like, as a divisional opponent, I'm like, wait, the Eagles are in a better position than we are with our talent? That, it's a problem.
And they have draft picks, too, by the way. And they also have draft picks, too. Jay Williams joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline.
Thanks, Alan.
Well, let's get off this topic because it's depressing you, and I don't want to do that before Thanksgiving. Let's get on to some NBA. Let's talk some hoop with you. And I know you've had your takes on the morning show, KJM, but I just want to get it here for our show. When LeBron got one game for the altercation he had with Isaiah Stewart in Detroit over the weekend – and he did missed last night's game at Madison Square Garden, his only appearance there, and was also on national TV.
Congratulations, Alan. Good win for you guys.
Yeah, I'll take any help we can get at this point. But when it, one game suspension, was that sufficient to you? Was it an overreaction, or was it not enough?
Look, I think he should have gotten two games, but I'm not going to die on that hill. I'm not overly passionate about it. I think one of the things that has helped LeBron is that his, you know, track record has been spotless pretty much the second time he's gotten ejected in his career. I don't think Isaiah Stewart should have gotten suspended for two games. I've been bowed in the face. But I can understand how it's not the person who makes the first offense that really gets a lot of the blame. It's the person that reacts to the first offense. And for Isaiah Stewart, the reaction is something I don't think the league likes. But can I tell you guys something I'm really hot about, and I'd be curious to get both of your opinions? Because I heard a couple of people make mention of this yesterday. When I hear people talk about, well, as a black man in the NBA, there's certain things you can't do. And when you bring up the history of the Malice in the Palace that was around fans and that incident with Ron Artest and Jax and all those guys, I sit there and I say, I start to lose my mind, because was it a fight? Sort of. It was more of an NBA fight than a real fight. Let's be frank about that. And I don't understand why when I go watch an Islanders game, or when I go see a Rangers game, or when I watch the NHL playoffs, fighting is almost not glorified, but it's applauded. It's there for entertainment. And I don't hear people refer to them as thugs or refer to their skin color. But when we come to basketball, all of a sudden, hey, you have to be careful about your presentation for the league. My thing is, things happen. But Isaiah Stewart never actually got to LeBron James. I'm sure he would like to have gotten to LeBron James.
Right.
But this stigma and this stereotype that is placed on players in the league, African-American players, that they can't react or you can't get into a slight scuffle because it sets a bad example. Yeah. Or it's a poor reflection on the league. It really bothers me in the wrong way, Bart.
Yeah,
it really does, man. The whole conversation makes me sick, man.
Yeah, you talk because you know it's a racial undertone to it, because in baseball they throw at each other's head and then they have brawls all the time and dust ups just like they had, rather guys getting hit and retaliation in the back. So it's not just unique to hockey. It's unique to all sports. Whenever you have guys that's playing at the highest level, that's trying to compete for something, and it's a physical game. At times you're going to have that. Like, we all know what that's all about. And, that's a tired narrative, and, that's easy low-hanging fruit for them to try and pull that one.
I'll tell you what, from somebody that covered hockey and knows this sport really well, my son plays it. In fact, my son got into his first little scrap over the weekend, boys, just to throw that out there.
Nice. Did he hit him with the eye gouge?
How about he got headlocked by the referee and he ripped his helmet off?
Oh, man.
So that's how they break up fights.
The referee?
Yeah, well, because the referee had to jump in to break it up, because he reacted to a teammate getting hit, a dirty hit, so he reacted to defend his teammate, got in there, didn't really get to do much because, all of a sudden everybody just jumps in, but he ended up, referee put him in a headlock and ripped his helmet off. But I will say this, though, those who are those types in hockey, the fighters, the tough guys, there is a term called for them, and sometimes it's a term of endearment and sometimes it's not. It's called goon.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's similar, again, when you talk about, they'll use the term thugs in the NBA. Goon is not something that a lot of guys love to hear, because they, the joke is, hey, by the way, there's a puck out there,
See, but this is the thing.
But you're right. No, I'm saying, but let me finish. You're right in the sense that in that sport, it's sort of part of it. You still get penalized for it. You still have to sit out. You still get punishment for it, a penalty and all that, but it is in the sport. Baseball, we have seen where players will, run out of the dugouts and out of the, the bullpens and everything, and there'll be some pushing and shoving, and we actually have seen some punches thrown, and obviously Robert Ventura in that whole moment there was one of those you'll never forget. With Nolan Ryan. But in basketball, I agree, and I've never understood why it is so taboo in the NBA now that even when guys get face-to-face and there are some words, they are so sensitive to overreacting to punishment and technicals and everything else, when I guess it's only because in baseball and in hockey, there is a wall that separates fans from the playing surface. In hockey, there's glass. So whatever happens on the surface can never pour into the crowd. Whereas in basketball, it's wide open, and I guess the fear is, what if something spilled into the crowd? Again, Malice in the Palace. I saw it at the Garden as well with Nate Robinson, J.R. Smith, Jared Jeffries. Like, that got real ugly first row. We saw it in Chicago with Derek Harper. And I forget the Bulls player. They got into a fight. And at the feet of David Stern, in fact, in that game, it gets into the crowd. Once it pours into the first row, that's when things get really scary. And I think that is part of the reason why it is so heightened of the littlest things. We got to shut it down fast. But the narrative that because it's black players, you can't do it, I don't buy that. See, I don't agree with that because emotions are emotions no matter who you are and what color you are. And competition will get people into a mode of, you know, I'm not going to take this crap from you if you're going to elbow me in the face.
Yeah, and goon is not a word that is related to a race, right? Goon is just a word that you throw to everybody. Thug has a hip-hop African-American undertone to it, and it's used just like when we talk about the racial, you know, the N-word, right? We know exactly who you're talking to and who you're talking about. So when you say thug, especially you didn't call Jokic a thug. Right, so it's that undertone where they're speaking towards using a term that's associated with a certain race.
All right, fair enough, but I still think the one game probably did.
I hear what you're saying, though, Alan. I hear what you're saying.
It's an argument, obviously a debate, I should say. It's not really an argument. We're not arguing about this. I think we're all agreeing on a lot of it, but it is something, though. I think people who are athletes understand it a lot more than people who have never played. And I do think there's something that is in that conversation as well. With that in mind, though, no LeBron, Jay. We're talking with Jay Williams on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. At the Garden last night, you did see probably one of the ugliest games you'll ever see on national TV. I mean, it really was. I tweeted last night that Clyde and Jerry West were like throwing up watching this kind of basketball. It was not pretty. But the Knicks hold on and win the game, and the Lakers go under 500. Do you have any concerns? I know we're getting almost now to the first quarter of the season being gone. They are under 500. Do you have concern for this Laker team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been having concerns. I'll tell you a story that I think it really allows me to fold into how I see the Lakers. So going into my rookie year, I got a chance to play for the USA Olympic team to a degree. And one of the guys on our team was Ben Wallace. And Ben, we were in a scrimmage, set a screen for me. And I got blitzed on the screen, and I attacked the big off the blitz, and I got the double team, and I slipped the pass in between the two defenders, and Ben was right there at the elbow, and I said, shoot it. And he passed the ball and went and set another screen. And during the timeout, after that possession, I said, yo, Ben, you got to shoot the ball, man. You're wide open. He said, Jay, Will, I get paid $60 million over a four-year span to rebound, to hustle, to get putbacks, and to set screens. This is what I do. This is who I am. And at that juncture of my life, I was like, wow, like, I never really thought about it because I was so busy evolving as a player that there's an importance to people knowing who they are because they can fit in certain roles in certain teams. And I tell you that story because when I watch the Lakers, I don't know who the hell they are. Are you a defensive team? Because last year you were ranked number one. This year you're towards the bottom part of the league when you lose guys that are building the culture like Alex Caruso or KCP. Are you a fast break team? Well, not really, because I've seen a lot of breaks where Russell pushes the ball down the floor and other guys are still lagging in transition. Mm-hmm. Are you a post-up team? Not really. AD floats more in the perimeter. Even though you have size, you don't really utilize it and take advantage of it down low on the blocks. So other than LeBron, I don't know who this is, who this team is. And they have so many veterans. I think that's the most shocking thing for me. I mean, 9 different starting lineups in 19 games. So that's extremely problematic when I know who the Golden State Warriors are. I know who the Chicago Bulls are. I know who the Milwaukee Bucks are. I know who the Denver Nuggets are. I know who the Phoenix Suns are. And also the last thing I'll say is it's a prime opportunity for him to do so, Allen and Bart. Russell Westbrook is one of the most dynamic players the game has ever seen, a triple-double machine, and I love it. But this is the opportunity where when guys like LeBron James are not on the court, I need to see Russell Westbrook do all that stuff and translate it to wins. To wins. And that is the amount of pressure you feel on Russell and AD, and it's deserving so. And I know guys are sick, but at the end of the day, with that star talent, man, you need to know who this team is, and they look clueless. And that's shocking to me.
It really is. It's amazing to see them where they are right now, and then we'll see if LeBron can have an impact on them and then, you know, and see if they can get out of it. But right now, AD has a, you know, a little bit of a flu, but seeing them under 500 is something I don't think anybody expected. Jay, we got to leave it right there. It's always great to catch up with you. Have a great Thanksgiving with your family, my man.
Take a sip for
love
me,
you
too.
Guys, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Take a sip for me, man.
Absolutely. Jay Williams.
All right, baby.
On the Goodyear Hotline. It's great stuff from him. And an interesting conversation that we had, certainly, about the altercation from Sunday that, you know, it is a different narrative when you talk about the different sports with this stuff. I do think fans like to see guys care. Where you are, I'm going to get in someone's face. I'm going to say, I think people love confrontation and drama, but it is amazing when it happens in the NBA, it's looked at in a much different way. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll get some calls going here, of course, as we take you into your Thanksgiving weekend. College basketball is back. Tune in today. The Maui, Jim Maui Invitational Championship game coverage begins 4:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, another week, another starting quarterback for the Jets. And also, we take your calls. Yes. And, you know, speaking of the Lakers and where they are, what are the Knicks and where are they right now as well? All your calls coming up. But first, I want to tell you to join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Oh, we have some breaking news, Bart Scott. And you know what that breaking news is?
Oh, really, Mr. Hahn? What's the breaking news do we have?
We have breaking news that it's not Joe Flacco. It's not Mike White. It's not Josh Johnson. Am I missing anyone? Zach Wilson will be back as the Jets starting quarterback Sunday against the Texans.
Did you see what the Texans did last week to Ryan Tannehill, turning them over four times? You going to put the rookie back there? Well,
We don't have a choice because apparently Kobe got through the quarterback room.
Yeah.
And Mike White.
Mike White
Joe
was like,
Flacco,
if I ain't playing, nobody playing. He went in there.
He went full Tropic Thunder. He just went in. I'm taking everybody out. Those two are in COVID protocol. Now, I mean, look, let's be honest. if you're the Jets, I mean, this is the number two overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And while it's been nice to see some other players, like remember their decision with Joe Flacco last week against the 85 Bears. Oh, no, wait, it was the Dolphins. Was the fact that you wanted to see other players and, you know, get an idea of what your offense can look like.
Yep.
Did they get 17 points? Was that what they got? Isn't that nice?
Oh, but they moved the ball. They moved the ball. They moved the ball. We know that.
Yeah,
Elijah Moore did something that was never been done since
he was special.
Santana Moss. So it's like, yo, this dude's special. Now, it feel bad for Michael Carter. But listen, they got Tevin Coleman. They got Ty Johnson. They got Michael Pirine if they ever want to put him up as well. So it's going to be interesting to see, okay, what did you learn, rookie? Because, listen, it's not like, listen, okay, he missed three games, right? Out of those three games, he still has seven more to go. That's plenty of experience, right? He's going to get 14 games to learn the game.
And that's what I was going to say to you. So the most important thing now, and it's unfortunate that they lose Carter for a couple of weeks, or is he not for the season, right?
No. Anywhere from three to four,
okay.
So he'll be back the last
three. That's tough to lose him because it's been fun to watch him, and again, another young player. But, I mean, the most important thing now for the rest of the season is going to be let's see Zach Wilson look a lot better than he did before the injury. Now that he has been able to watch a little bit, observe a little bit.
He's got his personal coach.
Three different quarterbacks run this offense.
He got his personal coach.
And Beck is there, too, so he's got his personal coach. So they've basically put him in a cocoon. Like, there is nothing more you could possibly say. All he needs to do now is play and play well. Obviously, the offensive line needs to protect him. That would help, too.
But the offensive – whoa. See, that's the problem, right? The offensive line has been protecting everybody.
Yes.
It's the fact that he didn't protect himself because he's holding on to the ball in plays that he's not supposed to hold the ball into.
Fair.
And he's leaving the middle of the – how many times did Joe Flacco get hit? Once? Twice? And Joe Flacco can't even move.
The one time he got hit was was pretty bad. It was
yeah. But that was a miscommunication,
yes.
Right? But then you talk about also how many times did we see Mike White get hit? Mike White wasn't back there feeling like throwing the towel for Mike White. It looked like he was under a lot of distress. The ball was coming out.
Well, the injury that he had was on a throw because on the extension of his hand on the throw, he hit a helmet or an arm or something like that, and that's how he hurt the hand. It wasn't like he was getting he wasn't getting thrown to the ground, but still. I just feel like if for the Jets, you need to know what he's about and can he trend up by the end of the season to make this any type of just a modicum of success this season would be if by the end of the season you're like, all right, well, now Zach looks good, and then you have Moore, and then you have Carter, and you have Zach Wilson. And
Davis
then you have,
is young. Davis is still young.
Right, but I'm looking at like you're young. Yeah, exactly. But
second year, once Becton, he comes back up,
Vera Tucker, you feel like there's a young core of players that showed you something this year. And made you feel like it's. I don't even know if Becton's going to play. So that's where it's at right now with the Jets. So it is Zach Wilson. So you will see him back under center for the Jets. We got some great tweets. I do want to read some of the Thanksgiving tweets because we are saying, what are you thankful for in 2021? Sports related. But I did get a different tweet here that I wanted to share with you, Bart. It's from Biff, and he says this: I love the show. But for God's sake, Alan, nobody cares about your Peloton setup. I assure you. We get it. You're in shape. Happy Thanksgiving.
Listen, this is a discussion that's happening all over the world right now, right? It is people deciding, do they want to get on a Peloton? And Peloton has become a community. Remember, this was really something that became a big thing. Like, Peloton sponsored by Fox as well. Right,
like ESPN. So, they're connected with ESPN too. We've done a lot of stuff with that.
Yeah, and ESPN. So like, this is a real thing. Like, it's Christmas time, and a lot of people are trying to make the decision: do they want the Peloton? So they're speaking to Alan to see, like, okay, well, Alan likes it. We see Alan on MSG.
I ride it every day,
and he looks like a Lotto stud, right? So maybe I can look like a Lotto stud, like Alan, because Alan, got a little gray hair on the side. He's a man of a certain age, and he still looks like he can still go. He's still dunking the basketball. So if I get a Peloton, maybe I can get in shape. Without hurting my knees, without hurting my back. I ain't got to go sit there trying to hand clean. All these crazy people trying to do CrossFit, blowing their back out, pulling their Achilles at 50 years old. This is a nice, easy way to get in shape.
There's nothing easy about it, but it is a nice way to get in shape, and it's a lot of fun. And I love music, so it works for me. And that's all it's about. And I just thought, people tell me all the time that you're supposed to share, like radio on Sports Talk Radio, share stuff about your personal life because people care about your personal life. Talk about your personal life. Yeah. And so I talk about my personal life, and Biff tells me nobody cares about your personal life.
Well, I'm just glad.
It's awesome.
I'm just glad Biff make like a tree and get out of here. Listen, I'm just happy Biff, didn't say nothing about my uncle and his silk, the dun-dun-duns.
Yeah, Bart, nobody cares about your uncle and his silk, but however you said that. But thank you, Biff, anyway, for saying happy Thanksgiving. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Oh, by the way, Bart, we just got the Peloton tread. It was just delivered, just in case you didn't know. It's right next to the bike. And my wife and I, we're gonna do that couples thing. We're both going to work out together. A couple that works out together gets them together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And all that. Meanwhile, let's go to the calls. You know what? Let's hear from Spike down in Florida wanting to talk to us about those Knicks.
Oh, Spike gets sunburned. I'm so jealous that Spike's in the sun right now, and I'm freezing my ass off up here.
Spike, what's happening, man?
I can't tell you how happy I am you picked me up. And I'm thankful for you two guys and everybody in the network and station. And it's been one of those years for me. I'll let that go. You can read between the lines. But last night's Knicks victory, Alan, I sent you an email. If you read it, so be it. I've been with you from day one, and you're as good as it gets analyzing a game. And I've told that to everyone I my big yap to. The Knicks have one thing to correct. I know it's a national show. Julius Randle's a very high-strung guy and very delicate to deal with, but you got to get the ball out of his hands. You know where I'm coming from.
Yep.
And they're playing with heart and fervor, and I like it. I think they're going to be a sixth seed and maybe not win as many games proportionally. But my love for the NBA, man, is like at my age and seeing it all, I love the game so much, and you've taught me so much, and that's what I'm thankful for. So the last thing is, Bart, I want some of that mac and cheese.
I got you. I got you. I get some of that mac and cheese. We'll freeze it and get it to you, Spike. 18,000 different cheeses, though. I don't know if you can handle it. It may block you up a little bit. Make sure you get some Metamucil or something before that. Make sure you got some roughage or something to push that through.
Spike, we appreciate you as always. A happy Thanksgiving, and you know, stay strong because I know you're battling through it. You know, we're thinking about you. And by the way, you know, I cringe when I hear people say this when they call us. Now, I know he's in Florida, but he's originally from New York. When they say, I know you're a national show. Guys, we're on in New York. Like, we're on in New York. I can't say it enough. 98.7 in New York. So we are national on a platform, but we are still, of course, in New York. We're actually based in New York. So yeah. I get a little sensitive. I got a little sensitive to that. A little sensitive to that. Rodney's in Georgia, and Bart, he has a question for you.
Hello?
What up, Robbie? Yeah.
Rodney?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Okay. Hey, Bart, go ahead and call me Stiller One, man. But look, I know you're a fan like me. Did you see that guy come out the stands in the Barclays, that big old dude in the red Santa Claus pants, and knock Seth Rollins out? Darn near took him out. Did you see that?
He knocked Seth Rollins out?
Yeah, what it was, you know, they did the show. From Barclays, right?
Yeah.
Survivor.
The pay-per-view.
Yeah,
he tackled him. He knocked him down, and he had the best of Seth. You know, Seth just got through wrestling with that little dude walking around there talking about he with the leather jacket, which I can't stand because he's little. I get sick of little dude talking about they beating up big dude. But anyway.
What is this?
You little dude, I like a little dude, go swing and sit down. Okay?
It was a fan, Bart, is what he's saying. It was a fan that came out of the stands.
Yeah, I know. During the Survivor Series, and Seth Rollins tackled him?
Yeah. No, he tackled Seth Rollins.
Oh, so Seth Rollins had no smoke for him?
No, he took Seth down. He had Seth bent over before Seth knew what was going on.
And people thought it was scripted. people thought this was part of the script, and it wasn't.
He thought he was a new wrestler, like coming out. Like that's usually how they debut. Somebody comes out of the stands,
somebody just all of a sudden this dude in the stands
and
like,
beat
what?
Him up. But you always know it's the way you always know that it's supposed to happen because security is standing around. There.
Well, they did know the security came in right away.
That's how you know it's real. See, because usually the person comes because they protect the person in the stands and let everybody know, all right, he about to go out and wrestle, like blah, 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 because people recognize him, you know, all the people in the underground. Yo, that's crazy, man. He should have hit him with a Ric Flair chop. I wonder if Seth, like, yo, we didn't practice this. Like, this is real? Security! Yeah. Security!
Yeah. Well, you never know with people. So, like, that's one of those situations. You don't know if he's got, like, a knife on him or something. You got to be real careful, but Yeah, that did happen. Rodney wanted to ask you what you thought of it, but I love the part that the part when he adds, you know, I don't like it when little people are trying to beat up the big people.
But that's the big person's fault. He should be getting beat up by that little people. Says it squash him. Hawk smash.
Maybe that is true. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Barton Homer, brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up, we'll finish with your calls and things we've been most thankful for over this past sports year. We'll share it with you. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Han.
Hey, this is Bart Scott wishing you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving and happy holiday weekend. Hey, this is Bart Scott wishing you a happy Thanksgiving and holiday weekend. We'll be back Monday talking about all the NFL action from this week. Hey, this is Bart Scott wishing you a happy Thanksgiving and happy holiday weekend. We'll be back Monday talking about all the NFL action this weekend. That's Bart. Okay, I'm going to say this weekend. Hey, this is Bart Scott wishing you a happy Thanksgiving and happy Hey, this is Bart Scott wishing you a happy Thanksgiving and holiday weekend. We'll be back Monday talking about all the NFL action this weekend. That's Barton Hahn, 12 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We had Kimberly Martin. We had Jay Williams. Kmart in traffic. Do you think she got through the city by now, Bart?
She's talked to her almost 1 o'clock. She's almost home.
You think she's almost home?
Almost there.
Kimberly, if you're home, send us a text to say you're home. If you're still in the car, we're sorry.
She's on the Helix.
She said she was listening to the show.
She's on the Helix.
She's on the Helix, right?
The curve.
If you missed those interviews or any other portion of the show, you can always find all 3 hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just subscribe, and you won't miss a thing. We want to talk with you about what we're thankful for in the world of sports. First and foremost, though, because I want to make sure we have time for this, I want to thank everybody that allows this show to be what it is. Bart, obviously, thanking you. You and I have been together for a couple of years now. We've been through a lot together, whether we're in the same place or not, or in the same studio, which is a lot of fun to be in that studio. But John Winthrop, our producer, with us every day. You know, our leadership, David Roberts, Justin Craig, Amanda Gifford, Liam Chapman, all of them and their support and what they've done for us. All the guys back in Bristol in the control room, Ryan, Devin, Cam, Bubba, Jake, when he was with us as well. The guys at ESPN Plus, Lorenzo, Howard, Michael, William, Charles, and the guys in New York too, Anthony and Ray as well. We appreciate you for everything, for keeping us on the air, for putting up with us as well, because let's be honest, talent is not easy to deal with. Yeah.
It takes a village, and people see us on we're the faces of it, but there's so many people behind the scene that give us the support that we need. You know, they make it so easy. All we got to do is hold on to the steering wheel, and every once in a while I grab that thing and I almost take it off the road, and you guys pull me back in. So I'm thankful for all you guys, you know, all the aforementioned people that Alan, you know, ran off his list. You know, I echo those same sentiments. You know, this is a great way to earn a living, and it's great to still be a part of the game and be able to tell the story as narrators of the game.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a lot of fun. But let's see. Also things that we're thankful for in the world of sports. How about that the Braves won the World Series so we didn't have to see the Astros win? I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that's a you thing. I wanted to see Uncle Ben, a.k.a. Dusty Baker, man, get his first title, man.
Fair. I'm thankful that the NHL's back on ESPN, baby. I'm thankful the Islanders have a new arena, too, UBS. Islanders-Rangers tonight in that building, too. Start a new tradition. I'm thankful for that. What do you got, Bart? You thankful for anything sports-related?
Well, listen, I'm thankful for my Pistons, man. I'm thankful for my Pistons. I think they're going to be able to turn it around. Finally, Casey's going to get some young talent. They're going to stay with him instead of selling all the parts off, right? I'm just excited that sports are back and it's safe to go and see them in person, right?
Yeah.
The fact that we can go to the Garden and I can hear the Oregon player playing and, you know, having fun that way, be able to high-five some people. You know, I'm happy that we're able to go out and spend time with our loved ones, because this time last year we didn't have a vaccine and we were hesitant and people weren't able to spend time with their families, and some of those people lost their loved ones and never had an opportunity to say goodbye.
Thankful we can get together as family this year without as much concern as we've had in the past as well. That's always a big part of it. So we thank you all for listening. We want you to have the best Thanksgiving weekend, and Bart and I will see you on Monday. See you, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.